He had a real kingdom, and the world really identifies with King Solomon. Israel was taken by the northern tribe, was taken by the Assyrians. That is unquestionable. Judah and Jerusalem. Jerusalem is leveled by Nebuchadnezzar. Unquestionable. That's history. Now I'm going to give you another window to see. You have your life, however many years you've lived. And if I was going to try to grapple with the period of time in which you have lived, you would be able to bring us, if we let you, you would be able to bring us into all the years of your life. Your growing up, your school, everything. And you could bring us into the fullness of your life. True? It's past, present, and the future. When we come to God's Word, He gives us from Genesis to Revelation His life. So when I go from Genesis to Revelation, God is giving me a window to see one person, God, and His life outworked. His creative genius outworked. So that you understand, so you don't sit there and say, well, what's that got to do with me? I don't know if it's true. Forget that approach. You'll never get anywhere that way. Historically, secularly, or sacredly, you'll never get anywhere. You've got to have some objectivity and healthiness to absorb reality. Now, having said that, here's Jeremiah, and Nebuchadnezzar is on his way in ultimately here. And in the process, God, in His wonderful grace, the ten tribes in the north, have gone into captivity under the Assyrian government, as it were. And in the light of that, Judah and Jerusalem are now being threatened from 722 down to 600 or so, 150 years. And in the process of the Jerusalem and Judah is being threatened. And thus God gives warning to them. They should have learned a lesson from the ten tribes in the north, but they didn't. They didn't do that. So now God is going to go, and He warns them by Jeremiah. Remember all these men, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, Haggai, and Zephaniah, they're all speaking to Israel, to Jerusalem. So you aren't just talking one man. You've got major prophets looking at them. And it's critical. It's a critical time. Israel is going to be put down to the bottom of the barrel at this time. So now, in the process, Israel is Judah, Jerusalem, does not listen in Jerusalem. God gave them warning and mercy. They refused to receive the warning, and thus they lost out on the mercy. And they did. So God in His wonderful, wonderful person and character. And God's always out knowing. Why is God always so patient? Because God already tells us from beginning to end that apart from Him, we are as the flower of the field. We are as a blade of grass that's here and gone. We are nothing. And God knows that. We don't know that, but God does. So God is going to have a great patience and long-suffering with us that we can't imagine why He has it, because we don't understand. Now, in the light of that, God, in His mercy and grace, He has them go down to Tekoa, remember, chapter 6 and verse 1, and He has them go 12 miles south down to Tekoa on the edge of the desert down there. And he has them go down there, and he gives them opportunity to listen. Now, what are they doing in the meanwhile? What are they always doing? Verse 13 and 14, they are listening to the priest and the prophets. Their leadership, their world, their government is all coming together to try to overcome and overrule and outrank God. And they're thus saying, as you know, verse 14, chapter 6, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, having it's very insignificant, it's taking it lightly, my people slightly, saying, what were they saying to the general populace people? Peace, peace, when there is no peace. And the people were gobbling it up. They liked the message. They liked the hope. They liked the prospect that things would get better and gooder, as it were. And in the process, they were not ashamed. They were not ashamed at all that they were leaving God out. They were not ashamed that they disregarded God. It didn't bother them at all. They should have been very much ashamed, but they weren't. And so in the process, they are doing that which is right in their own eyes, like in Judges. And in the process, they have opportunity to change again. Verse 16, God's going to give them opportunity to change. And that's interesting. Why do you do that, God? Because he knows we're frail. And he understands the utter impossibility of us to do anything apart from him. We don't know that, but God does. And so God is very long before being angry. And here is the world trotting along, and Jerusalem and Judah that should know better, of all the nations of the world, they should know better, but they aren't paying attention. So now we came to verse 16, and we shared together in verse 16, thus saith the Lord, he's going to tell them to stand up, remember, in the way, stand ye in the ways, here's the different paths, stand up, don't sit down, you're ready to move, and pay attention, look out and see which is the right way to go. And not only see, but make sure you ask, so don't even guess, in case you misread the road signs, in case you don't understand, ask me. Here's a sign, good, bad. If you don't know how to interpret good and bad, ask me. Like it says in Deuteronomy 30, ask. I'm going to tell you what to choose, good and evil, or blessing and cursing. You take your pick, but I'm telling you, choose good. If you choose bad, you're in trouble. But God tells them what to choose. So now, here, ask. For the old paths, the ancient paths, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Enoch, Noah, where is the good way? The good way, we shared all that. And walk therein, walk, live, exercise your life in that. And when you do, walk in the right path, in the right direction, in the right way, as you proceed down the corridor of time, as you are exercising, learning, growing up, and all of that stuff, then you will find rest for your soul. And you'll find rest, and with rest, refreshment, a resting place. You'll find tranquility amidst trouble. You'll find peace in the middle of problems. You'll be refreshed. When the world would be distressed, you'll be refreshed. And in the midst of the storms, you'll have a stillness. All kinds of benefits. If you just go down that road. And you say, well, I don't have to get to the end of it to have the benefits. No. The benefits, every time we take a step, we walk in the light as he is in the light. Every time we take a step on that highway, we're blessed. The benefits are endless. You haven't arrived. You haven't finished the course. It isn't finished, but it's all with God. Hang on with that now. So in the light of that, and all of that is because of the cross. So now we're ready for the end of verse 16 in particular again. But their response, they said, "We will not walk. We will not walk therein. We will not go on the right good path, the good way. We are not going to do that. We are not going to walk." And remember, the word walk means to move about, to live, to behave yourself, to have a purpose in getting out of bed and moving down as you live, outlive your life. Now, so we will not walk therein. So we're not going to walk. Now, in order to capitalize on that, we're not going to live. God, you have given us a green light. Green light to go down the good path. If we refuse, and we are, as Israel, we're refusing the green light. Go. They're refusing it. The green light is going to turn red. And they can't do it anymore. They'll never go again at this point. And it won't happen again till the millennium. It won't happen again till the millennium. They had a green light. But they said no. They didn't realize they forfeited that opportunity, and the light turns red. Now, then the only way is their way. And everyone, the wonderful statements, wondrous statements over and over again, God helps us. Everyone, God turned everyone to their what? Their own way. There's only one way. You don't go my way. Go your way. Go your way. That's the only way you've got left. If you leave God out, you'll have to live the life on your terms. And you have no other choice. And you're doing it people are doing it every single day of the week. They're living like that. Work, home, school, play, eat, read, see, and all the stuff they do. They're doing it. Now, in order to get the movement of that, I trust, that movement, they said no. Now, I want to have a little better window. I want to stand next to the nation, as they said. I want to listen to them like this. We will not walk therein. And I want to get them into their mind. I want to get into their mind. Jeremiah chapter 13. Jeremiah chapter 13. And in chapter 13, if I may, in verse 10 will get us, okay? Jeremiah 13:10. You want to get a sense of Israel. You want to get the mood. What is it that makes it like that? Chapter 13, verse 10. This, God said, this evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk, there's your little verb, which walk, they're walking, it's a participle, they're keeping on. They aren't going to, it isn't a few minutes, it's their way of life. They're going to keep on walking. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination, the thought process of their heart, and walk after other gods, to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. Now remember the illustration again, that Jeremiah was to go and bury this girdle, this cloth, and bury it and leave it, and then just sit in the ground. And then he was given time to go back and pick it up. And of course, when he picked it up, dug it up back out of the ground, it was rotten. 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 And Israel is like that. God gave them opportunity. They didn't take it. And God's going to leave them. And it's and like the girdle, it's going to become rotten. No good. Good for nothing. Good for nothing. Now, what are they missing? Verse 11. For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel, the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, reason that they might be unto me for a people, for a name, for a praise, for a glory. I wanted them to have the wonderful privilege to enjoy the grandeur and greatness and grace of God. The end of verse 11. But they, what? They wouldn't hear. Now see, before you get to poor people of the world, hold it now. India, Africa, all over the world. Hang on. You got to stand back and get from where, what's really out there. What's really out there. And then you want to be in God's side on this, not on the human side. Poor people, they don't know. Baloney. Is that all right? Salami. Baloney. Now, and thus they won't hear. God had a wonderful, wonderful plan for them. Now over to chapter 16. Chapter 16. And again, God is going to hit the target by way of Jeremiah. In chapter 16, if I may, picking up, please, in verse 12. And you have done worse than your fathers. For behold, ye walk, live. Remember, they're walking in, they aren't going to go God's way. They're going to walk in their own way. For behold, you walk every one after the imagination of their evil heart, and they may not hearken unto me. Without the hearing, if you hear wrong, your heart's going to come out wrong. It's either going to be softened on what you hear and how you hear what we're reading, and you either get harder or softer. Now, so over to chapter 23. God just tells them again and again, they made a choice. They're not going to walk therein. Verse 17. 23, verse 17. They say still unto them that despise me, saith the Lord. Thus the Lord hath said, ye shall have, chapter 23, verse 17. The Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of their own heart, no evil shall come upon you. And they keep following the message of the prophets and the priest. It's all right. You don't have to get concerned. It'll all be okay. Don't think about it. Verse 18. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? And of course, as you read through the 23rd chapter, you're looking at all those prophets never stood before God. They never stood before God. They never did. They had a lot to say. And they all got in cahoots and said whatever, the priests, the prophets. And as you read chapter 23, you guys never met with me. You never asked me what to say. You never asked me. And they're going to pay for it without reading all that wonderful chapter. Now, and thus, chapter 10 in Jeremiah, going back for a reason. In chapter 10, if I can, again picking up verse 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. How am I going to walk in the will and way of God without God? God will say, let me make it easy for you. Here's the path. Well, what is the path for us? Our Lord said, John 14:6, I am the way, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one can ever get down that way to my Father apart from me. I am the way. I am. Now, how are we going to go God's way without God? How are you going to do it? I said, I want to go on a good path. But you can't go on a good path without God. See? And if you leave God out, who's left? You. Just you and your path. And every man is turned, does his own thing in his own way. And that's what we want. We just like that because it's free. It isn't free. We aren't going anywhere. And you've had all those wonderful little simple illustrations, you know, of the squirrel or the hamster or something in the cage. And the cage turns, and the hamster runs, and the cage turns. And if you come back an hour later, how far has the hamster gone? And when we're all done, we did work, home, school, play, coming, going, saving, writing, helping, working. Now, when you're all done, where are you? Where are you when you're all done? That's just a question. You're a little older? Are you wiser? See? Where'd you get? Well, I paid off my house. I did this. But where are you? You're not anywhere. You never got anywhere. You're in the same body. You're locked into it. Didn't gain that way. Didn't gain anyway. From a man's point of view, we have this and this and this. But hey, from God's point of view, you haven't got anything. You haven't gone anywhere. Thus, wonderfully. Verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not a man that walketh to direct his steps. You can't do it without you, God. We can't possibly do it without you. Uh-huh. O Lord, prayer. O Lord, the remnant. O Lord, correct me. But with judgment, not in thine anger, because you will bring me to nothing. God, I need to be corrected and helped. But don't do it without your mercy and grace, because I will end up as nothing. Isn't that good? God, correct me. Correct me, God. Don't you? It's a wonderful thing. We confess. You say, well, what a verse. Well, that's when I do bad things. Verse John 1:9, if we confess our sin, is faithful and just. Well, that's when I do bad things every year or two. You don't realize what a blessing that particular section is. We walk in the light as he is in the light. And you're constantly thanking God that he's cleansing you in his cleansing blood as a believer. Wow. And God, correct me. But please don't do it in the light of your holiness and anger. Don't do that. In your wrath coming up in the tribulation. Don't do that. I need mercy, God. God, so in the light of that, correct me, but not with judgment, but correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Now, having said that, over, if you would, to chapter 29. In chapter 29, you would recall, picking up, God is going to think, God thinks about them. And God knows what he's going to do, but Israel isn't in the place, at least this part of time in history, they aren't in the place to have the benefits. Verse 12. Then shall you, when the day comes after the 70-year captivity, then shall you call upon me and you shall go. Go, the word go is the word to walk that you've been looking at. Noah walked with God, Enoch walked with God, Abraham walked with God, and we have it in Jeremiah. Here's the word walk. They would not walk with God. In Jeremiah 6. Now, Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. You're going to call me. You're going to come, go. You're going to walk with me. You're going to come in my direction. You're going to look to me, pray, and I'm going to listen to you. And when you do, what are you going to do? You're going to seek me, and you're going to find me. When are you going to seek? When are you going to find? When you search for me with all your hearts, and I will be found. Verse 14. When you seek me with all your heart, how far away are you, God? I am an ever-present God who is infinitely beyond everything. How near are you? Right here. Right here. Wow. Huh. So, God, I have to seek you with all my heart. Uh-huh. That's the arrangement. Wow. Now, having said that, over, if you would, please, to Psalm 81. Psalm 81. Israel wasn't going to walk, and the green light is going to turn red. And the only way they can go is their own way. And thus, Psalm 81. And picking up, if I can, in verse 7. 81:7. Thou callest me in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Now, you looked to me, you wanted me, and I was there to rescue you. I was there to help you every time. I gave you heads up. I gave you all kinds of clues and help in what to do. I even told you what to do. So it isn't a question. You didn't tell me, God. You told me. I just didn't do it. Verse 10. Hear, O my people, and I will testify, bear witness unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, if you will hear. The trouble is, they aren't hearing. They don't have an ear to hear. They don't want to hear. Now, verse 9. There shall no strange God be in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange God. God is alone God, and God is jealous God. And he gets all the attention. No one else. No other lover. No other lover. He's the only one. He gets it all. Wow. Now, thus, you know, verse 10. And when you do all this, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. You open it, cause your mouth. You, it's causative. You cause your mouth to be open. You open your mouth. I'm not going to open your mouth. You open your mouth. It's your mouth. You open it. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, not a little bit, and I will fill it. I am going to put into it all the wonderment and nourishment for you to have a marvelous, extraordinary, ordinary life. Verse 11. But, again, yes, they are consistent. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would have none of me. Now, since they had a green light that becomes red light, then what's the only alternative? Verse 12, I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. So you outwork your life, your job, your health, your wealth, the way you want to. In the light of the world system is a lousy system with its politic and power, its pride and pompous control of humans. The devil himself being in back of it. Wow. Go ahead. Go live your life, he said. Verse 13. Oh, that my people, having said that, God says, oh. You're going to die in your sins, saying it another way. You're going to die in your sins if you don't believe. Oh, how terrible, Ezekiel, is the death of the wicked. I wish they never had did that. I wish they didn't die in their sins. I died for them. I wish they didn't die in their sins. But they do. They do. So now, verse 13, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked, there's your word, walked in my ways. But they didn't want to do it. They didn't want to go in the green light. They took the red light. And thus, if they had walked, we said it a moment ago, a little bit, verse 14, I should have subdued their enemies, turned my hand against their adversaries, and the haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. In other words, Israel would be blessed all the way down the corridor of time, no matter what nation was doing what, until God's good time. But they didn't. Verse 16, he would have fed them with the finest of the wheat, and with the honey out of the rock, I should have satisfied thee. I would have given you the best grain there was on planet Earth. And I would have tapped it and capped it with honey to make it sweet. I would have done that. I could have just given you bread. But I'll give you bread and honey. I'll give you what you need and beyond what you need. Luxury. How can I say that another way? God said what? My joy I give what? Unto you. That's honey. My peace I give unto you. Honey. All the benefits. Wow. Now, so, having said that in Psalm 81, and keeping that in mind, let me do another one that's familiar to you that may be helpful. Over to Psalm 23 for a moment. Psalm 23. And you will pick up our word. And I'll read it, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk, there's your word. Though I live, Abraham walked, Noah walked with God. Yea, though I walk through, not around, I'm going to go through the valley of the shadow of death. That is that expression. It's darkness, deep, thick darkness, not just dark, deep gloom, thick darkness. Yea, though I walk in the thickest darkness, in the gloomiest setting, when I see nothing, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why not? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So, God, here I am, walking. And if I choose and go, the green light says go. And you got it, you're ready, ask, go. And you go down that road. Wow. And when you do, it isn't all picnic, it isn't all for fun and games. It isn't that at all. It isn't that at all. Come become a believer and everything will be wonderful. That isn't true. Become a believer and you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in war. You're going to have a lot going. You're going to have to work through because you are opposing the darkness as a child of light. You aren't going to be. You put yourself in a terrible place to get saved. And God said, I know you have, but you represent me. That's why I leave you. So in the terrible darkness, you are a light, as we shared on Sunday. Now, so there, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. God, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. Now, but, God, why is it that I'm not going to be afraid when I walk? If I go with the green light and I go, with you, God. Why? And you never said it was going to be easy. So we aren't going to say, friends who like me, I'll have a better job. I'll have a better health. Everything, marriage and everything is going to be nice and rosy. That isn't true necessarily at all. God never said to you. The world does, and people do, give you a false notion that peace and wonderment, if you get saved, God will love you and have a grand time. That isn't quite true. You'll have a grand time, but you'll have a grand time in terrible state, a situation. Now, God, here we are looking, moving through time, and God, you're there, and we will fear no evil. Over to Psalm 86. Psalm 86. And in Psalm 86, picking up, please, David is going to help us some more. Verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Now, if you're going to get your heart right, you're going to ask of me, I'll show you the way to go. All right. So I'm going to look to you, God, and you're going to be merciful. Uh-huh. That's right. Now, slide your eye down, if you would, in the light of that, over to verse 9. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. Verse 10. For thou art great, and dost wondrous things. Thou art God alone and only, none other except you. Now, God, since I got that part clear, then God, since you're the only way, and I need to go your way, and I don't want to go without you, and I can't make it without you. Therefore, verse 11, teach me thy way, teach me. Cause me to learn, to point out, to mark, to guide, to instruct, to show, to shine as a light. Show me the way. Show me how to do it. Teach me thy way, the course, the action, how am I going to go on the right course, in the right way, in the right direction, for the right reasons. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk when you teach me, and I'm open, I want to learn. I will walk in thy truth. I will walk, and the word is intensive. I am going to really roll up my sleeves and do it. And that's what God told them to do in the first place. Roll up your sleeves and go. You've ever seen, you won't want to do it, of course. You're at the red light, and the light turns green, and you're there, and you have some kind of supercar, and no one's on the road, and no one's around you. You can put your foot on the gas and go zoom right through it. Now, you wouldn't want to do that, of course, because sometimes people are looking. You want to do it now. God said, go. Put your foot in the gas and go. Go. Now, having said that, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk. I will do so intensely. I will walk in thy truth. I'm going to hear and heed your word. I'm going to be governed and guided by it. I want to look to you. And thus, God, in order for me to do that, in order for me to capitalize on your word, verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Now, in the light of verse 11, unite my heart. That is also intensive. Intensive. Unite me. It's a full energy of the heart. I mean, you aren't just passively chit-chatting. You're saying, God, unite my heart. Ah. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Now, when I go in the valley of the shadow of death, when I ought to be afraid, I'm not. When everything is lousy, and see, I see no light and no window to get out of anything, God, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. And the reason I'm not afraid is because, God, I'm looking for you to help me as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. I'm going to look to you, God, for what? I'm going to look to you, verse 11, to unite my heart. Now, the word unite means to bind together, to be like the same, to make one, to bind it so together that it is the same. It is the same. To bring it all together, to connect, to unite, to make it one and the same, joined together. And thus, I'm going to be constrained. I'm joined like under the ox yoke, Matthew 11. I'm going to be constrained. I'm going to be controlled. My heart is, because I'm looking to unite up to what you're doing. That's why David, with Psalms of David, that's why David was God's man. Why? Because remember his heart, Matthew, 1 Samuel 13, his heart went right up. He got in the elevator, remember we said, because that's the preposition. He got in and went right up like this. God was up here in the 15th floor, as it were, and he took the elevator up to the 15th floor and opened the door, and there was God. And when he opened the door, and he looked out through the door of the elevator, and he was on the right floor, and God was looking at him. And God chose him because he had a heart. He wanted to be where God was. He wanted to be in the same page with God. That's what we want to do. He isn't God. He's just a man like us. But he wanted to be in that same page. Wow. So now, unite my heart and his heart. Unite, bring it together, make it one and the same, God. In the light of all the unrelenting issues, persons, problems, desires, directions, all the things that are out there, that God keep us occupied and caught up in one thing after another, at one time or another. God, unite my heart to fear, to have a healthy, holy, happy respect. The word fear, a consciousness of God, positive, that draws me to God. Same word, a consciousness of God that makes me fear and back off. Positive, draw near. Negative, fear makes me go away. Because God is fearsome. I don't want to get near God. On the other hand, we fear God. And the very fact that we have a reverence for God, a respect for God, it changes our character and conduct. And that's the word. So now, unite my heart to fear thy name. God, I want my heart, I want to turn all of my heart towards thee. I want you to take me, God, and everything that is mine. I want you to take me and everything that is mine, and in my mind, everything that I am, everything that I have, and everything that I think. God, here I am. It's just, and in my mind, and I want you to take that and bring it together with who you are and what you do. And God, make it a oneness, a union, a wonderful, unite my heart to fear thy name. You remember the Apostle Paul did it in a whole different way. In 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul said, I personally know him. I am fully persuaded. I am absolutely confident. I have given him my heart, my soul. I've given him my situation. And I've given him my world. I've given it to him and deposited it, like in the bank. I deposited it with you, God. Here it is again. Unite my heart. Make it so that my heart, my mind, everything I have, God, I don't want to have to get all caught up in something that I didn't give you. I want it so that you keep it in place. I don't want it raising its head and exalting itself against what you're saying, against who you are. You are a wonderful, wonderful God. I don't want my little mind challenging you, questioning you, doubting you, making debate and discussion when I don't need to have any, when it comes to you, God. None whatsoever. Quiet my heart. Now, So, having said that, so joining together, if you would, join my heart together. You ought to be at the center, and you ought to be at the circumference. You're in the center of my heart. I look to you. You sit on the throne of my life. You're my Lord. And everything in my world, work, home, school, play, right now, tomorrow, tonight, tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon, everything around my world, the bus, the classroom, the work, the home, the kitchen, the children, the headaches, the heartaches, the doctor, the lawyer, the Indian chief, everything is there. That's the circumference. And God, you want to be at the center, that's here. And I yield to you the whole circumference so that I don't see anything in my daily routine tomorrow where you are missing. I don't see anything that's going to be tomorrow or tonight where you are absent in my life. So when you think about your schedule, and then you put God out there, and then you think of the next schedule, next appointment, and God is there. See? Wow. And so God, I don't want to have a divided heart, a distracted heart. God, I want to fear you. I want to have a healthy respect. I want to get rid of I don't want the frailty, my frailty, my weakness. I don't want all of that to be in the way. I want to have a healthy reverence for you, for your name. God, and I got to quit, but would you notice, please? And I will praise thee, O Lord my God, verse 12, with all my heart. I will glorify thy name. Why is that? Well, because I'm going to give you all my heart. And I want you to unite my heart to your name, to who you are. And what do I want to do it for? Verse 13, for great is thy mercy. And then see if you can figure out the other words. For great is thy mercy towards me. My motivation. See, isn't it a big trick? It's just you think right. God, what did you tell us to do? How does it work? See, if I get too much of me in it, I got too much self in it. And then I lose out. I lose out. I don't want to do that. Don't want to do that, God. Now, perhaps you have a particular request. I trust you got a little bit, and you got the green light, which you have.